Good evening. You guys are so far away. Huh. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 this evening. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 31. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the same way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let us take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, what a wonderful God you are, that you truly have laid down yourself as a servant for us, taking the form of man. Celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ and his life and his victory over sin. Lord, just pray that we would continue to grow in Christ Jesus. As we decrease, he must increase in our lives. We continue to focus on him this season, going into the next year. Also pray, Lord, that we would consider the logs and the specks, and that we would work on our logs as we work and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Yeah, you know, Isaiah says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. You see, our Messiah, King Jesus, is the Prince of Peace. And that Messiah said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. You see, the King of Peace has given his people great peace. Not the peace that the world looks out of their windows looking and yearning for, but a peace that comes from hearts being reconciled back to their Father, the creating God, through the Messiah. Judgment, not the coming judgment, but judgment amongst one another's inside the body, if done with the wrong spirit, is not from Jesus Christ. If done in the wrong spirit, is not from the King of Peace. Scripture exhorts us. It says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. You see, a misplaced, clouded eye will rupture peace in the body. Now certainly the world's got this section of Scripture wrong, right? You know, Jesus said, don't judge people, so, you know, don't judge me and I won't judge you, and, you know, I'll take my way and you take the highway, you know, and hopefully none of us are on God's way. You know, I mean, I don't know. So, you know, clearly the world's got this wrong. Okay? Yeah. You know, but we're not the world. And, not only are we not the world, but tonight I've got the evening going, Christmas Eve evening going saints. And so, speaking to the body of Christ, I don't like being judged. No need for a show of hands, but I'd say the majority of you guys probably agree with me. I don't particularly like being judged all that much. You know, the first and most obvious reason is because it's magnifying and bringing my shortcomings, you know, right before my face. And I'd say that's the big reason why, you know, probably, you know, that judging eye probably casts an unwanting shadow on oneself. You know, but secondly, Because sometimes it can be done with the wrong spirit. It can be done with a spirit that is not from King Jesus, the King of Peace. You know, something else I noticed too, that when I'm judging, I'm not always right. I mean, that'll humble you real quick. To cast a judging comment or a judging blame on someone to find out that you were wrong, that I was wrong. Well, that'll humble you. You know, but the other part is when I've been right, I hadn't removed the log that was in my eye first. And that's when it's done the wrong way, with the wrong spirit. And so it can be easy. It's easy not to be a fan of the whole process in general, judging one another. But I do want to add something in here real quick. It is a process nonetheless. Okay? You know, in Matthew 7 here, we look at verse 5. He says, "You hypocrite, first take the log that's out of your own eye, and then you will clearly see to take the speck that's in your brother's eye." Okay? Logs are being moved, and specks are being cleared. And so there is a process here, and we don't get to hold the position that the world takes to say, "Well, you can't judge me." You see, because if I'm doing something wrong, it is the obligation of my brother or sister to come let me know. And so I don't want to say there isn't a process here. It's just, you know, the process itself isn't always something that we enjoy. And so I just list a few of those reasons why. But I don't want us to forget or to negate the fact that this is a process. Jesus said it. He's just kind of laying down some definitions for us. You know, but with that said, sometimes I think of, or I picture judgment in the body and compare it to the young, brave soldier boy that got a heart for war. Okay? You know, but he gets left back at camp because the kid can't even pick up the sword yet because it's too heavy. And if he did, he's just going to hurt himself. That's the picture I get sometimes when I think of judgment inside the body of Christ. Okay? You know, sometimes we get in this thing, especially if we're, you know, somewhat new, and you know, we just take that sword, but it's, you know, we just start swinging it. Yeah. You know, first you need to figure out how to use it. Yeah. You know, hopefully you're somewhat strong enough to be able to pick the thing up. Okay. But first, whoa. You got to know how to use it. And secondly, you got to figure out who it is you're fighting. It's probably not the person sitting next to you. I'd say Jesus probably lets us know it's with the prince and power of the air. And lastly, you know, the measure of a good soldier is battle victories. Okay? You know, the measure of a good soldier is, you know, the number of W's, the number of victories. So maybe we ought to have a little experience with tribulation and victory first. He'll have a little experience with tribulation and victory before we start, you know, swinging that sword of judgment around all wildly and haphazardly. Yeah. And guess who the Lord tells you to start working on first when you get in this thing? He tells you to start working on you. Okay? Something like putting to death the deeds of the body. You know, so I just encourage myself and encourage us to, you know, grow a little. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, encourage us to grow a little before we start swinging that judge and I around. Maybe learn from our own shortcomings for a little while and before we try to tackle this whole, you know, judging one another. In 2 Peter chapter 3, just read the last couple of verses here, starting in verse 17. He says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." You know, we are to be on our guard. It's important for us to have a discerning, judging eye. Why? So that we are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men. Okay? That's going to look a little different inside here, though. Okay? And if you're looking for the what you should be doing, the commandment is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what you're told to do first. You got to grow. You got to start by growing in the grace and knowledge. Okay. Brethren, are there specks? Yeah. You know. There's specks. And do specks need removing? Yeah? You know, what is a speck? It's shortcoming. Probably more specifically, sin. Right? And so if a speck is a shortcoming, which would show a weakness in character, or sin, which sets its desires against God, okay, that should probably get removed. Okay. Yeah, we need those moved. Just not by those who got logs. Or maybe not by those who have gotten really good at looking around the logs that are in their own eyes. Another thing that I notice here, that Jesus is trying to communicate to us, is that the one that's in your eye is probably bigger than the one that's in your brother's. Log, speck. Okay. And just some thoughts. Okay. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 1, he says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." Okay. Guys, I am taking this one along with, "I must decrease, and he, Jesus, must increase." But I'm taking that along with, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged," all the way through the next year. I'm going to focus on that, on myself. You know, when I say that, I mean really working through my own log and being extremely gracious with all of you while I work on my own log. You know, I'll speak for myself, and maybe this can apply to you on some level, but I'll be honest, there are some people in this assembly that it's kind of hard to find specs. You know, there's a decent amount of people in here. For me, you know, it's hard for me to find anything wrong with them. Yeah. And you know why? I mean, you know, if you want to find something, are you going to find it? Yeah. You know, if you look hard enough, are you going to find what you're looking for? Of course. Okay. But you want to know why? You're probably hard to find some faults in other people. It's usually because they're not running around trying to find your faults either. Now, I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of a picture I get when I read the first five verses in Matthew chapter 7. We got an amazing assembly here, so it's more than just a few. But just thinking out loud, there's a handful of people here. It's hard for me to find fault with. You know, I picture them and their families, and they're an example of patience to me. They're an example of kindness, humility, hospitality. And then it clicked with me. They're the same people that aren't running around trying to find out what's wrong with me either. And they're taking that time and working and using it on themselves and on their own families. This is, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." In verse 2, he says, "For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." I remember, I had read this verse a handful of times. I remember the first time this was quoted to me by a brother in Christ, because it fit the situation. I had slept in. I had a study at 5 a.m. And I had slept in, and I had missed it. And I've never been late before. So I texted, I think I eventually called and said, "Boy, I'm really, really sorry. I feel terrible. And this was the response I got. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. You see, up until that point, this other person, you know, I'd been late a few times and slept in as well. But see, in that moment, I wasn't thinking about the fact that they had done it to me, so it's okay if it happens to me once. I was genuinely sorry. And it changed the sail for my paradigm from that day forward. You see, because what it communicated to me is even though I was the one in the wrong and I had made the mistake that this particular individual was not even thinking about that, and that their first reaction was what they had done. And they said, you extended grace to me when I was late or hadn't shown up. By your standard of measure, shall be measured to you. Showing, focused on self before the casting eye is placed towards someone else. Man, that really had an impact on me. You know, so you got a complaint. Okay. But let's roll that measure back to you. And if you've got a habit in measuring in metric tons, okay, I'm going to come back and sting a little bit. If you measure long, wide, and heavy, that's going to hurt when it comes back on you. It's like these bright lights up here. It's just a whole, if you haven't been up here, this is a whole different thing. You might be able to wallow around in the shadows doing the blah, 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 blame game. But you get up here and you get the same dose coming back at you. And all things are visible when exposed to light. I'm really grateful that my life doesn't roll a live feed 24/7 for everyone to see and hear and to watch. Let's go to James chapter 2. We'll start in verse 8. The context here is, do not show partiality amongst one another. You know, money, social status, whatever it may be. Don't show partiality. In verse 8, it says, if however you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love the neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. Well, yeah. If you are actually pulling that off, you're doing pretty good. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of them all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you become a transgressor of the law. So speak to, and so as to act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty, for judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That is a powerful few verses there. You know, what does that law of liberty offer that the law written on stone didn't? And doesn't. It's grace. It's grace. Man, you violate the law written on tablets of stone, condemned, guilty. Nothing can atone for your sin. And the law of liberty, the life and sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord, grace and truth have been realized through Him. You know, in a similar message, Jesus is recorded by Luke as saying, be merciful, just as your heavenly Father is merciful. Christianity begins with the forgiveness of sins and then progresses to His Spirit being perfected in the inner man. I'm going to be honest with you guys, that's why I came. You know, I'm really excited I'm here because I got to know you guys, but it was that I need the sins forgiven. Okay. That's where my faith began. That's not the purpose of Christianity. That's the beginning. And then you get in and you learn how to perfect God's Spirit in your inner man. He says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. I mean, is that not the spirit of our creating Father? Perfect, loving, merciful. For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Read verse 37 and 38. Do not judge and you will not be judged, and do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Pardon and you will be pardoned. Give and it will be given to you, and they will pour it into your lap, a good measure, press it down, shake it together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. I really like that picture. Man, they're going to throw it in your lap, press it down, shake it up, get in there, and it's still going to overflow. And by your standard of measure, it's going to be measured to you. But I like, you know, in a separate teaching here, how Luke records what, you know, our Lord said. Pardon. And you will be pardoned. And that's when he adds, they'll put it in your lap. So much so that when they shake it and pound in the top, it's still overflowing. You know, pardoned, and you'll receive even more. Verse 3 here in Matthew chapter 7 says, why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own? Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 2. I couldn't pass this up. What you spot is oftentimes what you got. You know, what you spot is oftentimes what you got. You know, Samantha and I got a little rugrat on the way, and you know, the first time I complained to her about how impatient our kids being, I hope she reminds me to be patient. You know, what you spot, oftentimes what you got. Yeah, I learned that about myself managing people. Okay. Oh, why are they always... Oh, I do that? No. Me? Yeah. And in case no one's told you this before, your strengths are rooted in your weaknesses. Okay. I am very meticulous, very organized. Okay? I also am very black and white, and it's hard for me to let the little things go. Strength, weakness. Okay? What you spot, oftentimes, is what you got. Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same thing. Go to verse 23. You who boast in the law, through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written. You want to be the spotter? You want to be the referee? Man, nobody likes the referee. And those poor, I don't even play baseball. Man, those poor umps. I mean, I played basketball my whole life. I've been to football games. But man, those umps, boy, they just get beat up. Every ball goes by. Ah, you know, the pitcher's upset. The coach is upset. The dugout's right behind them. All the fans are yelling. Every pitch. You want to be the spotter? You better not practice the same thing. Breaking the law of God. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 4. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? I like how he says this. How can you? How can you do that? Go to Luke chapter 6. Verse We read 37 and 38. We'll just pick this up here in 39. And he also spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? You guys remember the context of where this comes from? Who's heard that before? A blind man can't lead a blind man. They'll fall into a pit. You remember the context where this comes from? A pupil's not above his teacher, but everyone after he's been fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that's in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that's in your eye, when you yourself don't see the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly, take the speck that's in your own brother's eye. The blind guy that's leading people into the pit is the log-wearing, speck-seeking blind guy. Oh, well, you know, we can't hang out with that family, you know. They're not all that spiritually discerned, you know. They don't got their priorities right, you know, talking about brother, sister in Christ, you know. It's the guy with the log looking for the speck that's leading people into the pit. Not someone whose faith's down here. That's where they started. Cut them some slack. Cut them some slack. I promised myself I was going to get us out of here on time or early. Yeah. Yeah. It's Christmas Eve. Yeah. I love you guys. And mankind's a funny creature. He's sure gotten good at looking around the logs. You know, we can do that, but the problem is when the log's right here, I mean, you can't see anything. So you gotta kinda do one of these things. But now you can't see what's over here. So now you can see again, but you didn't remove the log, but the problem is you're missing half of what's going on. You have no clue. You can't see it. You're coming at it from all the wrong way. Not seeing things for how they truly are. I just want to remind you, you'll find anything if you look hard enough. Okay? There's a ton of you guys here. Man, we got the Christmas Eve evening assembling crew here tonight. That's encouraging. Man, you guys are great. And most of you here, you're in that list that's in my head. Man, you do a lot of things right. But, you know, if I looked hard enough, I'd find something. You know, the difference is I don't want you to look that hard here. I'm growing. A little grace. Verse 5. You hypocrite! Okay, there's a couple things in the scripture. I got three that make sure I pay attention. One is, did he say it twice? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Check. Repent or likewise perish. Repent or likewise perish. Hey, the doubles. The other one is therefore. Anyone else ever noticed that before? You're reading Paul's sentence, which is half the chapter of Romans, and you're lost. I'm lost. And then he goes, therefore. You're like, oh, you know, you wake back up, you're like, what did I just read? He's gonna tell you why he just told you what he told you. Okay? And then the third one is, you hypocrite. First, take the log that's out of your own eye, and then you'll clearly see to take the speck out of your brother's eye. But then, are there logs? Are there specks? Do the specks need to be taken care of? You bet. Okay? We are here to help make sure that each one of us makes it to heaven. And you got sin in your life, and it's not being dealt with, you ain't gonna make it. He's not. Just make sure we're sending the person without the log first. See if maybe you have a log. I just want to end in Philippians chapter 2. I don't necessarily believe that when Paul writes this, this is, you know, talking about judgment, or the context even necessarily mirrors what we covered tonight. But it's just something that I really think is going to help. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. We must decrease. He, Jesus, must increase. That includes his church, his body. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And in case that didn't carry weight, he just stepped it up a notch. Have this mind among you, which was in Christ Jesus. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He is the Prince of Peace. He has left that for his church. You know, the speck's got to be removed. Just not by the people with the locks. So, do we have a gracious, forgiving God? Yeah. We certainly do. Yeah. Just encourage us, and I'm going to really encourage myself going into this next year. Let's work on our faith. Let's work on our faith. Merry Christmas. God bless.